start looking at turning hopeless situations around. I mean, not that way you think to start, because the light of the New Testament is very important for us when we have to start thinking, but turning hopeless situations around, because when we see something is hopeless, we're really speaking more from man's perspective, from God's perspective. There's no such thing as a hopeless situation with respect to man. Sorry to God, hallelujah. That's important for us to understand. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. From verse 16. Paul's apostolic prayer for the church. He says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you like prayers. And the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. And I say that when you're reading the epistles, it's important that you pay attention to the terms that were used to refer to God. It's important. Because you can be a new creation with an old creation mindset, both in your conduct, in your prayer. So, is God God? Yes. Is this still Jehovah Shammah? Yes. Is this still Jehovah Rory? Yes. Is this still called the Shaddai? Yes. That those are different aspects of what God was trying to reveal about himself. Because some of us think that, oh, I did not say that we cannot call God. The issue is this. If you have a partial revelation and you have a full revelation, which one is better? Which one is better? So, when you see John 1:18 that says, no man has seen God at any time. That includes all the prophets. And when it says no man has seen God at any time, really contextually, he's actually saying, since in verse 14 of John chapter 1, the Bible says that, and the Word was in flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as a living God of the Father, full of grace, and that grace is what? The truth. So he's actually saying, nobody has seen God in the flesh. None. And the greatest revelation of God is God in the flesh. Say amen. That's important. So no man has seen God at any time. The greatest revelation of God is God. And no man was privileged to see that revelation until the day that gospel revealed it to us. So when the Bible says no man has seen God at any time, for the only begotten Son. So God's revelation that is fully encapsulated in Christ Jesus. Which is why, if you're reading through the epistles, they seem to be devoid of those grandiose names that we like. You will not see Oyigigigigigi there. Have you noticed? Don't you really like it? Have you noticed that? Have you seen it before? Which translation is that? Because no, you may like it, but notice how God wants to be known. The Father of the God of glory, the Father of our Lord Jesus. Whenever you see the God of glory, don't just tell him of something floating there. The glory there is a reference to that which was used to raise Jesus from the dead. So God is telling you, I want you to define me now. Listen carefully, because sometimes we miss those things. When Bible says the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, is a God that is the one who through his covenant with Jesus, he fathered him in raising him from the dead. Hallelujah. Are you following? So through his covenant with Jesus, when the Bible doesn't really refer to God as the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, but when because Paul is calling attention to the relationship that existed that made Jesus go to the sacrifice. So the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, and when he says the Father of glory, look at Hebrews chapter 2. And verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than what? The angels. In order to experience that, he was crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should what? Experience death for everyone. That's spiritual death. Next verse. For he became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things. So there were things spoken that only Jesus could accomplish. They were spoken with Jesus in mind. So from Genesis, from the prophecy of the prophets, some things were spoken by God with Jesus in mind. In other words, Jesus was the one whose things were spoken concerning that he will come to fulfill it. So when you hear, he became for whom are all things. When you hear all things there, he's really talking about the utterance of God. Say amen. And by whom are all things? In bringing, in order to accomplish this vision, to bring many sons of the glory, he made the captain of their salvation perfect through the things he suffered. So perfection, when you hear perfection there, always speaks about our salvation in Christ Jesus. When you hear perfection there, it's like a journey started. It has now ended. It's now completed. So which journey? A journey that began from prophecies and promises in the Holy Scriptures is now culminated, fulfilled, accomplished in Christ Jesus when he was with us. Amen. Now, what was that promise? That God will father man. God will be a father to man. You see, the fatherhood of God is the crux of redemption. Listen carefully. Because when we speak about turning hopeless situations around, we have to be careful about the terms we use, because we're talking to saints who are sons and daughters of God. The fatherhood of God is meant to communicate one thing and one thing only to you. That God so loved you, he went that far to become your father. Not that you so love God, you offer to be son. Man was content with having a relationship with God that had to do with greater and greater. God wanted something stronger than his father and son. We're in that company now, father and home. We belong to that eternal company now. It's father and sons. No sons also includes daughters. Amen. You can get that. So it's not father and home. So we were content. And you see, listen to me. This is one of the reasons why we have saints who still want to worship God as a creator. He is a creator. But to you, among his creations, you have become a son in Christ Jesus. So the relationship is stronger and deeper. God is the creator of all men. He's not the father of all men. It's so important to understand. God is the creator of all men. He's not the father of all men. His fatherhood is seen. Resurrection of Jesus. So he says, he became me for whom I offense and by whom I offense in bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through the things which he suffered. Look at Jesus. He says, for both he that sanctifies and they who are one sanctify. They are all of one. And you don't know why the name uses that phrase. Give me good news by the grace. That is good news. It purifies me from their sin. Good news, strong good news, good news, but DMD. You don't have DMD. You don't have DMD. Give me NIV. Okay. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. But the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same one. They are of the same one. How did you become a member of family? He made you what? Holy. So Jesus is not ashamed. He doesn't shy away. He doesn't draw back from calling you my brother. He doesn't shy away. Amplified. For both he who sanctifies, the one who makes men holy, and those who are sanctified, they have what one? So what's the unity that we have with him? We have one father. For this reason, he's not ashamed to call them what? Brethren. Can you see that now? So when Paul is praying in Ephesians 1, the prayer is not a cardinal prayer. And the prayer was for the same church he had already written to in verse 3 that says, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies where? In Christ Jesus. So that phrase, in order for men to understand it, Paul is dancing in the spirit. Because you can suffer in the midst of plenty. You can be stranded in the presence of help. And it won't be God, it will be your comprehension. You can. You have supernatural guidance by the Spirit of God because God is your Father. Say, God will never fail to lead me. He will never fail to guide me. He will not fail to give me direction. So I won't say the other part of that confession. Because he will never fail, because his faithfulness is beyond question. That is what the resurrection of Jesus Christ brought to us, that God is always faithful. Listen carefully. Again, in counseling sessions, I know where a believer is in his consciousness by what he says. I don't know what is happening to me. It's not a negative confession. The problem is when you hear a believer say, I don't know why God is allowing that's a problem. That means the experience has colored your thinking. It has affected your consciousness, because that statement, as casual as it is casually casting aspersions on the character of God. You don't know as you ought to know. Because you don't understand. If somebody went so far, the captain of your salvation was made perfect through suffering. A suffering no man could endure except God himself. Now, in that suffering, you are still now saying, I don't know why God is allowing. Can you see something's wrong with that statement? So, do Christians say that? Yes. Why do they say that? They cannot explain what is going on. And then they are not sure of God's faithfulness in the situation. That's what the problem is. So, Paul is saying that, listen carefully. First chapter 1 comes for chapter 3 in Ephesians. So when it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Father of glory, may give unto you what? Spiritual wisdom and what? Revelation. Now, revelation is necessary only if certain events have taken place. Yes or no? So some events have taken place, which we can summarize as the resurrection of Jesus. The revelation of that event, all that happened in that event, all that that event should mean to you as a believer. Paul says, I'm praying that you have wisdom and insight in that event. That's what Paul is praying. Because the event is what gave birth to what we call the New Testament. So he's saying, I'm praying that you have insight in that event. Look at verse 17, verse 18. The eyes of your one understanding being enlightened. And as we go on, I will explain to us. Because when he uses the word understanding there, that part has to do with the eyes of your inner man, actually your imagination. The reason why words come towards us on a daily basis, you don't hear things just as words. You hear things in the form of images. That's how our mind works. So when it says the eyes of your understanding, I'm telling you what Christ has done. But the image of what has happened must be imprinted upon your consciousness, which is what we call revelation. So there is a persuasion that enters your heart by that revelation. The eyes of your understanding means the eyes with which you used to see, where images are formed, that makes you picture God exactly where God is, should be affected. That's what Paul is praying. Let me switch, put it another way. Whatever God needs to do, he has done. Whatever I need to do in light of what he has done is predicated on the eyes of my what? Understanding being enlightened. If I come to you and I say that, and you know who I am, when I say, you know, we're close, you know who I am as a person, and in our past dealings, I have never told you something or given you a promise which I didn't fulfill. And I said, at the end of this month, I'm going to give you $500,000. Where some of you are looking, you are in unbelief. I can tell because you are thinking, this pastor does not have $500,000. You are not looking with the eyes of the Spirit. I'm worth more than that in the Spirit. Like somebody was praying to God, God, give me $10 million out of my future money. See? I need it in the present now. Borrow me just more. I will return it in the future. Now, if I have been consistently faithful in dealing with you, and I say that, the image in your mind will be, at the end of the month, I'll be $500,000 richer. And then how do we know the image has formed? Your activities and your speech. So you go about saying that, how much is that car? You are thinking, because the image is there, $500,000 is settled. Now you are likely to believe faster if it's Dangote that told you. Yes or no? You know, the imagination of mine is so strong that this man gets loans from banks without collateral. Just his name and signature is enough. And they will give him the money. What do you think the bankers are doing? You think he's a risk? He's not a risk. They know him. You know he can't run anywhere. He's all over the place. And his assets are worth more than. So the image in the bank manager's mind is, okay, interest. What will happen to our... So the man, you may never see the man. You just got a note, you got a signature, a signed letter, and that is enough to give you an image. So we don't hear words as words. We see words as what? Images. Don't forget that. I know when we were young, we were discouraged from having an active imagination. But the truth is that even God works with what? Imagination. It does. It does. Hardly does anything ever suddenly happens. So when it says the eyes we understand there, is the eyes with which you used to image things or to imagine things. That's what it's talking about. Will be flooded with light. Which light? That which God has accomplished in Christ Jesus. So that Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 verse 31. So that when you read scriptures like this, it says, what shall we then say to these things? What things is it talking about? Romans 8. Look at verse 29. Let's start from there. For whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to conform to the image of what? His son. That he, that's the son, might be the firstborn among what? Many brethren. So what firstborn, we said, is like something that was first fruits, a kind, or a pilot, okay? The what you call it, the prototype of a new creation. So when you see him, he's a pointer to there are many others. So look at the next verse. Moreover, whom he predestinated, he also called. And those he called, he won, justified. And those he justified, he also won, glorified. Look at the next verse. So on that, what shall we then say to these realities? Which is everything I just said now. This is the summary. If God be for us, or since God is for us, say God is for me. Say God is for me in the morning, in the afternoon, in the night, in my waking moment, in my sleeping moment. God is not far. God is for me. So you cannot interpret God's presence based on experience. You need to get rid of that. The days you feel high, God is present. The days you feel low, God is present. The days you feel excited, God is present. The day you feel down, God is what? Present. He says, if God be for us, who can one be against us? Look at the next verse. So he's now painting a picture. He that spared not his own son. So you are meant to look at that verse and start having an image. The extent to which God went to prove one thing. I am for you. I am for you. I am for you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Because in each step of the journey that Jesus took towards our redemption, he could have turned back. He didn't turn back. If God be for us, since God is for us, does it really matter if anything or anyone is what? Against us. That's what he said. He now begins to say, he that spared not his own son. So, God's word really is meant to paint an image on your consciousness. That image becomes the basis upon which your faith produces results. Hallelujah. You know, I said the team is turning hopeless situations around. We're going to leave this for a short while, then we'll come back later. Look at Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Let's get a bit practical. Mark 5, verse 25. And a certain woman with an issue of blood, 12 what? Yes. And I suffered many things of many physicians, and I spent all that she had, and was nothing better but that it was. Yes. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Look at the way Mark records this. The woman came, the woman acted. So, what we're going to see after verse 28 is a narrative of how it happened. How did she arrive? How did she conceive the idea of touching his garment? That's what he's about to explain. So, look at next verse. For she said, or as Amplified will say, she kept what? Saying, if I may touch what is close, I shall be restored to her. That's Amplified. Go back to King James now. Next verse. And straight away, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Next verse. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself the virtue had gone out of him, he turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And disciples said unto him, thou sayest the multitude thronged thee, and you sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about her to see her that had done this thing. Yes? But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and what? Fell down before him and told him how much? All the truth. So, fine. So, we have the story of the woman. Now, the woman was the one telling Jesus after the healing took place. Look at the narrative from verse 25. A certain woman had got an issue of blood. 12 years. 12 years is a very long time. And had suffered how many things? And had spent all she had. And was what? I think it was Dr. Shaka that said that the woman had a glorious image on the inside of her. Nothing better but that glorious means there was no hope. So for every single time somebody mentioned a doctor that was a specialist that has so many cases, there will be hope. Then when she goes and nothing happens, the hope will what? Die. You understand now? So the reason why she kept going to the doctors was because she was hoping, based on what people were telling her, that something will happen, there will be a change. But the Bible says she was nothing better, but she kept getting what was when she had had Jesus. That's the secret. Whatever she had about Jesus before he produced an action was an image. Listen carefully. The image was what governed the action. So before she left the house, there was a process. What's the process? She had something. What she had was beyond words. What she had was beyond words. If I ask you, how many windows are in your house? Sorry? Three. Okay. How many windows are in your house? You can't see his face. I wish it was camera. You can't see his face. You know what he did? Went like this. You know what he's doing? He's going inside his house, counting the rooms. He's not in the house, but he can discover the number. Most of you have never counted any windows before, including me. How many windows? I cannot tell you. I have to go to my house. I had a Bible I was reading one time. So my aunt gave it to me in 95. When I'm reading that Bible, when I'm quoting scriptures, I'm reading that Bible. Only you can't see the Bible. I'm reading the Bible. I know the page where it is on. I know the where it is, and I know it's on which one is which scripture is on the left side or right side. So I've read it so many times I can. So as I'm quoting, I'm reading that Bible. You can't see what I'm reading. So my mind has taken the journey. Now, if I ask you how many widows are in your house, if you're not living in one room, no one, you don't need much, you need much work in your mind. But if you're living in, let's say, now you go to your house, so you enter the living room, you count. Enter, you know what you are doing? You are using your imagination. That's how strong it is. And with it, you bring God an answer, isn't it? So if I tell you, Pastor, where do you live? I stay around this place. And I start giving a description. Where are you going? I'm going to. So I start telling you, you have a rough idea of where you are going. Because when you heard me describe, it wasn't the words that you heard. It was pictures that you what? You saw. So she had heard of Jesus. And she came. She came. Between the hearing and the coming was an image. That image had to do with whoever touches is made whole. So when she was saying it, she wasn't saying it for God's benefit, for Jesus' benefit. She was saying it for her own what? Benefit. Why? There was no hope in the natural. Somebody told her something that gave her supernatural hope. So do we face hopeless situations? Yes. As far as man's ability is concerned. Does God recognize hopeless situations? No. So what does God do, or what do we experience when such situations are coming up? When a medical doctor tells you, your pelvis is too small to bring forth, the doctor is not against you. He's doing what he studied in school. He knows what it means for a woman to have a small pelvis. They told a woman in 1975, you cannot even have children. Even to have one by CS, the possibility is very slim. She eventually had five. They told another woman, you don't have a womb, so you can't have children. And the husband was a pastor, and then the woman conceived. And the doctors only, she didn't have a womb, they inspected, and they saw that there was a special sac created to carry the child. That is not in medical science. So as far as natural hope is concerned, it is not possible, but with God. With God. So when God speaks to you, or you hear God's word, God is not considering the situation you are in before he speaks. Because that doesn't matter. What matters is the integrity of his word. Are you following this morning? Because you know, just this past week, prophecies came, other things came. And then you now need to learn to how to engage your imagination of seeing yourself in that reality. Because without actually seeing it, you're not giving your faith any goal to accomplish. That's the persuasion that has to come to your heart. For the womb, listen, that state the woman was in was, she was hopeless. Nothing. Because she didn't even get better. You know, there's one thing about the blood starts flowing at the same level. Just stops, reduces, just starts coming little by little. But obviously she regressed. That's hopelessness. That means something said you after 12 years that you are likely to continue saying until you die. And when you run out of blood, that's the end. So that is when you get to another doctor, says you, and you know some of them, the way they will say, they won't tell you the truth, that they can't know. And they say, madam, if you had met me years ago, or God, we have met you now. This is already too late. This is already, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do. We just hope that God will do. That's not the spirit of faith. They're just trying to tell you that your case is what? Hopeless. But she heard something that put an image on the inside, and she acted on the image, if I'm able to touch. So before she got to Jesus, the image was already there. That means she saw something different from going to the doctors and whatever the doctors provided. The principle is the same. Whosoever shall say, Mark 11, look at Mark 11. This is the part that we sometimes miss it. Young man, when are you going to get married? Pastor, country is hard. Is that the question we ask you? Who told you marriage is possible when country is easy? When will it be easy? Because what you are calling easy is not easy in other people's camps. So you can't see all these things. Well, when the economy, when will you travel? When the economy is better. You are giving that image in your mind. That image will be fed by news. Dollars. It's what happened in Jesus' name. He said, dollars to Naira is now. You are just in. Use B. When we will have enough to go. No. When you want to go, what does God want you to do? Do you want to go?
Did he ask you how much they're exchanging? Do you know as they're exchanging, the exchange is going up? Some people are making money. As it's going up, some people, they've not stopped their traveling. They are just continuing. You are the one who is looking at the exchange rate and is affecting the image in your mind, and you're not paying attention to God's word. So you really think if you need to travel out and you have a word of God to do so, you think God is looking at your bank account? Or you have not seen people with the right bank account and they were rejected at the embassy? You've not seen them. The woman was working at the radio station. She believed God and told her God to go. And she was, if I tell you the money, you'll not believe it. 43,500 is what she collects monthly. And she didn't borrow any money. She didn't put any special money in her account. She just went to the embassy like that. And the person said, is this what that's in your account? I said, yes. I work at the radio station. That's what I collect. That's all. I said, you just want to go? I said, I want to go. I said, okay, no problem. We'll just give you money. You are struggling. Borrowing money here. Borrow that one. My account was balanced. And it isn't balanced still. Do you know what I'm trying to say? That, you see, some of the things we are, do you want, God doesn't ask you. When he says, rise up and walk, check now to see whether your legs are strong to get up. No. Do you want to remain whole? Arise. Stand to your feet. Take up your bed. No question. Do you understand? The power of God can only be hindered by the minds of men. The power of God can only be hindered by the minds of men. The resistance to God's word is always in the mind. Always in the mind. I use marriage as an institution deliberately. You want to get married. You're a man. Because you're men now, and almost afraid to marry. You're planning. And I like saying this because as many people experience it, you've saved the money, Something will just happen. You are counting that. Something will just happen. If you are fortunate, it may be 2 months before the wedding, you are very fortunate. Because some people, 2 weeks before. It's not every prophecy that's nice, though. It's not even prophecy that's nice. I told a young man, I said that, some things are coming up. Just, you know, you can't say everything. Just trust God. Everything will fine. 2 weeks for the wedding, all the money banked on went. You can start panicking if you don't have God's word. But the word that was given stabilized. Because when you put too much trust in that and something comes up, and something can come up, I didn't say God took the money. So I'm saying something can come up. But it doesn't change God's provision for you when you are ready. Say amen. Now, what that woman had and what that man saw was that if I touch. So she pictured touching before she left the house. And what she saw to the very end is, I will touch. And when I touch, I can see that the blood rise up and I'll be fine. And I will now go. And she did exactly that. So the power of God was waiting on her. She used her mind, which was her faith in expression. The image was first formed before there was what? Activity. It's not that you receive God's word. You now go and sit down and go to bed. And you do nothing. Your mind is barren. You're not engaging images at all. You're not allowing the prophecy you receive to paint images in your mind. You are going to delay the manifestation. You're going to delay manifestation. Some years ago, spoke to a young man in this assembly. The out of the country now. And they were trusting God for truth of the womb. And the midweek service, I can't remember what kind of service was going on, but it was a midweek service. I just pointed and I said, I just saw you now, carrying your son and dancing. Nobody told him to. He just jumped to his feet with an empty hand. It is you that's his empty hand. He heard the word formed an image. He got up and started, if I said you were dancing in dedication, he got up and started dancing. If you like, you can laugh. 9 months after, he did it in church with the baby in his hands. Now, was God's power available? Yes. What did God want to do? Engage the man's what? Mind. Why? Because many times you may have had a doctor's report that tells you conception is not possible. You may have suffered 3 different relationships that failed. So it has blurred the idea of a good relationship in your mind. So that when we ask, when are you going to get married? You're like, marriage. We don't have a spouse. I don't have a spouse you are talking about. So one is stopping you from thinking of the other because the image is affected. And that image needs to what? Change. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I said Mark 11, isn't it? Did we read it? No, we did it. Mark 11, 22. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God's principle is so important such that you will take journeys. How many of you have heard about deja vu? How many of you have experienced it? Okay, so there's spiritual deja vu. You know spiritual, not the one that's there. You know the spiritual one. When you go to a place before you get there, you go in your mind and you are allowed. This thing is free. But we sometimes use it for negative things. How can you be picturing how they will sack you? Because they said they are doing downsizing. Why must you be part of the downsizing? Why can't you see how you are going to be promoted and use your imagination that you change chairs? You are now no longer in this office, see yourself in this other office. And you are moving around the swivel chair, you are attending to people, they were coming in, you are now the new. Why can't you use your imagination for something the powerful can accomplish? I've told the story before. I'm just introducing this, so I'm not really going too much into my final year. I did a 5-year course. I'm going to be crop and soil science. And it's on a level course, which I didn't discover, that they couldn't find the result. And said, go and compare your results. In my final level, all the courses are compulsory. 14 courses, all compulsory. You can't fail one. Failed one, almost an automatic extra year, because the final year is 18 courses. So there's no space. So they said, go and compare your results. That's why I said, that chemistry 259. They said they can't find it. And the lecturer was like, just go and do it again. I would have done it in 300 level if I knew. I didn't know. So I went to go and sat. Trusted God, everything. Next thing was the results were noticed. They were compiling results. And when I was doing my practical year, thoughts were coming. You will have extra year. You have failed. You will have extra year. And the kind of lecturers we had, can you imagine going to a lecturer to go and ask for your results? He doesn't know you. Everybody that comes, what's your number? I've not answered the question. 7-3, you failed. I know you. You failed. You actually feel. I'm like, what kind of split is this? Sir, excuse me. No, you failed. I'm sure you failed. He checked the 71, so you even passed. How did you do it? I'm like, I don't understand. And you think that's not the answer when man talks. It's this sadistic attitude. You say, what's your number? Yeah. Why are you shaking? Yes, why are you shaking? I've not answered the question once with my number. I said, I know you. You failed. You definitely failed. You checked the 71. How did you do it? That was the attitude some of those people had. I'm in final year now. Waiting for them to release the course, the lecturer did not release the paper. Everyone was saying, extra year. Every morning as I was praying in the morning and confessing God's word. Guess what I was doing in my mind? I saw myself in NYC uniform. I'm not joking. I practiced this. I saw myself, despite at this time, people already they have finished most of the clearance. I saw myself in uniform, doing service, doing everything. Like 2 days or so before the whole thing was completed, the man just woke up and said, just release it. And of course, I passed. I went to start. But I'm saying that if I didn't engage, because there were already things coming to mind telling me that extra year. And then that's not the problem until the thing becomes, and what? Is this how I will stay back? It happens to us almost on a weekly basis, isn't it? Because when words come, how do you see the words? And we don't think we should do anything about the image. We just leave it like that. So when prophecy comes, you are wondering the efficacy of the promise, prophecy. It's not because prophecy is weak, because you have done nothing with your mind. Imagination. You've done nothing with your mind. That's the problem. Mark 11. Jesus answering, saying, have the faith in God or have the faith of God. Do you have the faith of God? Are you born again? Say, I'm born again. Say, I have the faith of God. At work in me now. Now, it says, have the faith of God. Next verse. It says, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, mountain figurative for a challenge that you're facing, to this mountain, be thou removed without casting the sea, shall not doubt where in his heart. That's where images are. So, doubting in the heart means there's an image that you need to adjust. Shall not doubt his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, because the image will control what you are saying, or what you are saying will control the image that you have on the inside. Let me say it again. The image will control what you're saying, or what you are saying will what? Control the image. And that's why when we're in church and we're confessing God's word about provision and about God's help, it's not the best time to measure your level of faith. It is when you are home, or when you are in the midst of colleagues, or when a need pressing it comes upon you on Monday morning. That's when you will know where's your level of faith by what you are going to say. So the school fees from 80,000 is now 150. And you screamed. They want to kill us in this country. Those who are laughing, they know what I'm talking about. They want to know now. You confessed in church on Sunday. My God supplies all my needs. God's abundant provision is my portion. I'm swimming in abundance this year. That's Sunday. Everybody's high. Monday morning. You've not been there before. Sir, gas is finished. Sir, there's no fuel. Sir. You feel like, did they send you? All of you together. He didn't send all of it. In that corner, mommy, the dad, daddy said we should give you this letter. Mommy, they said we should give you this. You want to do one photo, you want to open the letter. Because what you are already facing before that one came, they now want to add to the load. But you were confessing before. And when you were confessing, listen, the ones whose ability you are boasting on is not intimidated by anything new. You hear what I said? It's not. You are the one who has to work with your mind. He's not intimidated by anything that comes. There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing he will do for you he hasn't done for somebody before. So the limitation, therefore, is in what you are confessing and what you are imaging. That's where the issue is. Shall not doubt in his heart is a work that has to do with the person who is saying. Shall not doubt. That's your responsibility. Whosoever shall say and shall not doubt, shall believe those things which he said shall come to pass. He shall have what? Which is he shall have. Is that past or future? Is that past or future? So shall not doubt in his heart is where the image is. But shall believe those things which he said. So the things he keeps saying are reflection. And that's why sometimes when you first start declaring God's word, on the inside, the image hasn't changed. But when you are saying it, the woman kept saying, she wasn't saying for God to hear. She was saying for herself to hear. Because she knew what she had to uproot. It was 12 years of not getting results. The distance between her house and getting Jesus, we don't know. It wasn't recorded. But we know she kept saying. So even if she's going from here all the way to Agege, she kept saying. There was no limousine or Cadillac, except Cadillac donkey. She kept saying. She just kept saying. She kept saying. That means she was persuading herself. I already have an image, and this image, I'm going to make sure I stay with it. I'm not going to change it. The same way we process prophecies. You're trusting God for this or that. You start seeing yourself with that thing. You imagine yourself. You give it a name as a child. You start envisioning yourself having it. Even in ministry, we do this. When Kenegin Lee was, life was ebbing out of his system because of multiple diseases he has in his body. Tears coming down from his eyes, he was confessing. I'm going to preach on this corner one day. He was lying prostrate. I'm going to preach beyond this corner. I'm going to preach in this state, in that state. I'm going to go all over the world. He did it. He did it. He accomplished it. He didn't die. The words kept him alive. Hallelujah. The words kept him alive. Then he started saying, I'm not going to, the doctor said, you cannot make it past your 16th birthday. I'm not going to die when I'm 20. I won't die when I'm 40. I'm not going to die when I'm 50. I will be alive when I'm 60. Then he went to 17. And what was he doing? Painting an image. I've been painting an image. When I'm 80, I won't be using a walking stick. I'll be standing erect. I'll be preaching like I'm preaching now. I'll be preaching stronger. 3 hours, 4 hours, I'll be standing. I won't need a chair to support me. God is able. God is able to make all grace to abound. Hallelujah. He can and he will. But the image must be there. But the minute you start, you know, that's why something. Let me give you an illustration, for instance. The same thing Hennigan said that one day he discovered that his eyes started failing like when he was 50. His eyes started failing. So it was only that. What's happening? So as he was reading God's word, he discovered that, wait, my eyesight has not supposed to be failing. So what's happening? Unconsciously, he had read, I think, how many of you read this Reader's Digest? You know Reader's Digest? I like it. I've not seen it for a while, but I like it. He said he went to the health section and was reading that whenever you get to 40, and these are facts, that your eyesight is not as sharp as it used to be. So, now, that's not even the problem. The problem is that when after you finish reading it, you are now expecting that your eyesight is not going. I hope you understand. So, it's not that it's a fact. But the problem is, should you now start expecting that my eyesight will no longer... So, something has been given to you directly or in the unconsciously, which you are now processing. And yet you can decide to process. My eyesight will be sharp. It will be sound. Hallelujah. You can. God gives you that liberty. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above. Oh, that's one. Ask God. So the regulator is asking and thinking, which is why he prays for comprehension. How many of you know God loves you? How many of you know God will do anything for you? So why don't you say it and act like it? You see, now one's mental ascent now. When trouble comes, what you are saying is, that's what we know whether you believe, because that's where the challenge is. Something happens and the first thing that comes out of your mouth is a sign that you're not sure that God's with you. If God be for us, since God is for us, hallelujah. It really doesn't matter who can be against us? So when we come hopeless, it's only hopeless because of the image as was formed, not because the situation can be taken care of. Which is why the greatest demonstration of God's power is that what? He raised Jesus from the dead. Look at Romans chapter 4. Before we round up this morning, why did God use Abraham as a case study? Before you go to Romans 4, look at Romans 15 and verse 4. We'll go to Romans 4 very soon. Romans 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, that's ahead of time, they were written for our what? Learning. That we drew on patience and comfort. So the word patience means God's consistency throughout the scriptures. That's what patience is. God's consistency that caused men to hold on to his word. It says so that we through what? Patience and what? Comfort that the scriptures give. We may have what? Hope. Or we may have what? An expectation. Has God done it before? If the answer is yes, what will happen? If we won, we do it again. So why were the scriptures given? Patience and comfort. So that we might have what? Has he done things that look impossible? Yes. So that we, through patience and comfort of scripture, may have what? An expectation also in the area where we require a miracle. Look at Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. As it is written. Now, when you hear as it is written, there was a thought that the writer was pursuing, which actually, because of our time, let's look at verse 15. Verse 15. Because the law works wrong, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it may be by one grace to the end that the promise, so he's talking about the promise, might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but also to that which is of the faith of who? Abraham, who is the father of us all. Oh, hallelujah. Are you following that? So that's what he's talking about. He's talking about the promise. The promise is by grace. The grace is by faith, so that anyone who believes, not just those who are under the auspice of the law, anyone who believes through grace can receive. So look at verse 17 now. As it is written, so that promise, this is what the promise is. I have made thee before it ever happened. I have made thee a father of nations. Okay, before even believe, even God, which God, the one that has a reputation for what? Quickening the dead. And then calling those things which be not as though they, now, contextually, what is he saying? What is God's reputation, or what did God tell Abraham when he said, a father of many nations have I made thee? How did Abraham become a father of nations? Listen carefully. He became a father of nations in Christ Jesus. Say amen. To Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. Now, when God was telling Abraham that, what God was telling Abraham about was yet to happen. It hadn't happened. So, he says, when he believed, even God who quickens the dead, God was yet to quicken the dead at that time. The dead he was going to quicken was who? Christ Jesus. Are you following this morning? So, he says, and calling those things be not as though they are so. God spoke at the about the resurrection, which was off in the future, as though it has what? Happened. In order to show Abraham that it was going to happen, look at the next verse now. So Abraham, against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of one, many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Next verse. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet what? The deadness of Sarah's womb. That is what it means by hope against hope. So there was no hope. Why wasn't there hope? 100 years. Body dead. Sarah's womb dead. No hope in the natural. So against their hope, there was hope. What was hope? In what was spoken. A father of nations have I what? Made thee. So shall your seed what? Be. So now, you are taking supernatural hope from what God is saying, knowing that in the natural, there's no way it's going to come to pass. Except something else happens. How many of us are here? Hallelujah. Are you following now? So that is what Paul is using as illustration. So how will God show Abraham, I will raise Jesus from the dead, and it hasn't happened, and it's in the future. So now that your womb, body is dead, Sarah's womb is dead, I will give you Isaac in this same condition to show you that I will give life from the dead. Glory to God. If you understand, let me see your hand. I will give you Isaac. Now, listen carefully. Here's where we miss it. When you're teaching these things, don't go too far to the other extreme. I say it's all about Christ. It is all about Christ. But because it's all about Christ, somebody has a need for a child. God gave me a child. Don't forget that part. Do you hear what I said? If you want to be a good pastor, you say, Christo does not absolve your needs. Certain needs need to be met. that the power God wants to meet, because if he did it for one, he will do it for one another. Don't forget that. So Abraham's life was a picture of what God will do in Christ, but in Abraham's need was immediately what? Met through Isaac. Isaac wasn't the promise. Isaac was a type of the promise. So if you are dead naturally, and there is no way you can have children, and your wife's womb, even before she got cold, she was already barren. It's just that it made it more impossible, because against hope, he believed in hope. He didn't consider his own body. And if you're not considering your body, you have to consider something else. Hallelujah. You have to consider something else. So God gave Abraham what to consider, which Bible now calls supernatural hope. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There was an image Abraham had. How did God give that image? As we will look more into it. That was why God changed him from Abraham to what? Abraham. Because whatever I call you, you know, that's one of the reasons why, particularly Africans, I think African parents usually give their children meaningful names. Isn't it? Yeah, so when they call you a particular name, they are more like prophesying into your life. Isn't it? What does Chioma mean? Sorry? God is good. So that means in your life, God is what? Good. Isn't it? So they give meaningful names, or a name that speaks about something. And it's the principle is also in the Bible. You can call his name what? Jesus. For he shall what? Save his people from their sins. So why did God change Abraham's name? Because if Abraham officially informs people, my name is now Abraham, you will call him Abraham. He will hear Abraham and he will think like Abraham. Do you understand that? You will hear Abraham. You will think like Abraham. You will have the mindset of what? Abraham, which is a father of what? Nations. Have I not made thee? Can you see what God did now? So the image needed to be changed on the inside for God's power to fully work. So Abraham accepted that image by receiving a change of name. Now, you don't need to change your name. Hallelujah. It was figurative of something God was trying to say about how the process is done. Against hope, he believed in hope. He staggered not at the promise. Against hope, he believed in hope. So there was no natural hope, but it was given what? Supernatural hope. Glory to God. So let me ask you, what you say you are believing God for, what you believe that you have received, do you have the image on the inside? Have you named your baby? Have you played with your children? Have you seen your children in good homes? For those of you who already have you seen them married? Have you seen them doing well in life? Have you seen them coming to come and greet you? Go for you already, they were greeting you at the airport. You've seen the image as formed. It is impossible for you not to have. You know what I said? It's impossible for you not to have. It's impossible for you not. You will have it. One time I was trusting God for a car. That's been a while ago now. I was driving a two-door car. That car tried. Me and Pastor Lou, we used to race on Third Mainland Bridge. Pastor Lou is now saved. His salvation wasn't full before, but it's small, but again now. We used to race on Third Mainland Bridge. So, two-door car like that. He was having all kinds of issues. So I was trusting God for a car. And I started processing it. I started having an image. Of course, a two-door car cannot have AC. In those days, it cannot have. It's a miracle for there to be AC. They cannot have AC. It will develop fourth at all times. It was third hand. So it was fourth hand with me. You can imagine. Okay. So I said, confess. Then one day, I started seeing myself in a new car. You know, you are sweating, but you see yourself in AC. It can be difficult at first. You are thinking, there's no AC. This sweat is much. Inside this, but you are sweating, you are seeing yourself in a new car. The dashboard had changed in front of me. Then something happened. What I was believing for that I didn't discuss with people started entering the house of people. So I remember that then, a daughter called me from University of Effect. She said, just the pastor has been a long time. How are you doing? I said, fine. He said, have you gotten your new car? I didn't discuss new car with her. I wanted to say, who told you I wanted a new car? So I just said that you just ask. And I went to redemption camp to go and pray one time. I went to go and pray. I met some elderly women at the junction of the church of the regional camp. So they asked me for a lead. I was going a different place. So I said, let me just take them to where they are going, the praying ground. So I drove them all the way there before I now wanted to come out. So as I was about to turn, I know it's a 2 and when you are coming next year, you come with a new car. When expectation gets to that point, it has entered beyond your heart. Manifestation is close. Are you with me this morning? You are processing alone by yourself in your room. Nobody's there. But after a while, when people start echoing back to you what you privately believe, when people start seeing vision, I saw you this, I saw this, I saw you, that means the thing has entered outside. Attention is there. this will encourage you. Of course, I got the car. Interestingly, I got the car without a dime of my money involved in the car. And exactly the car I had seen myself in, plus the color, was the car I got. In case you think God is not specific. So I'm thinking about that one now. Someone says, why? That's how it works. Ah. Rasiv, do you want a new car? Yes. Okay. Any car? You're not ready. Any car? What about Kabu Kabu? Is there any car? No, there has to be a desire. Whatsoever you desire, hallelujah. When you pray, believe that you want, receive them, and you shall have them. I want twins, male and female, two boys, two girls. I want twins. So that when the image is forming, you are seeing the exact sex that you want. That's what happens. The same church used to do, and there was pain. You image your healing. What are you counting on? The power of God. This image is not bigger than the power of God. This image is what the power of God can what? Accomplish. If God is not ashamed, and if God is ready to be called your God, then why are you drawing back from having the image that lines up with what you say you're believing for? So ask yourself, since the prophecies came over a week ago, what images do you have on the inside? Glory to God. Lift your hands this morning and thank Him. Make the adjustments this week. Make the adjustments this week. Wake up in the morning. Spend time imaging. What is the next phase, the next thing that God has spoken to you about? What did He speak to you about? What do you say you're believing for? Is the image clear on the inside? Because without the image, not God now, it is the power of God is limited in what it accomplished because you have not set the goal. You have to see it. God is a God of sight. God is a God of revelation. God is a God of visions. The Father gives us visions of a preferred future. He gives us visions of preferred experiences. Experiences that He wants us to have and are over and above the challenges we are presently facing. He saves to the uttermost. His hands are not slack that He cannot deliver. No, He can. And He says, He gave you blind what whatsoever you desire when you pray. So, after desire, then pray. He wants you to desire. He wants the image to be clear on the inside. His ability is power. Will then work according to what you have desired. And as we go on, you see how to maintain a consistent confession to what you have desired without changing it. You stay with it. You stay true to it. He will bring it to pass. A new house is not bigger than the ability of God. Before you think about the money, first think about the ability of God. Your capital must first be the ability of God for a new house. Your capital is the ability of God. God is able to make all grace to abound. God is able. God is able. God is able. God is able. He loves you passionately. So before allowing fear to come in, how am I going to pay the next rent? God is able. See yourself paying it without being bankrupted. See yourself paying it with extra in your account. Give Him praise this morning and thank Him. Father, we praise You. We exalt You. We rejoice in all that You have done for us. Our hearts are bold and confident in what You have done and what You are doing to us. Thank You for the testimonies that abound. Our faith works and it keeps working. Thank You for the marvelous experiences and miracles that are attend to us this season. We give You glory, Father.